tell you a little bit about her. She spent more than 40 years as a professional dieter prior to coming to CA Howe meeting. I'm going to put this in here. I asked her three times to come to a meeting, and finally she went because I was stepping up, right? I'm going to get her to come and watch me step up. She came to a meeting, and just the rest is history, right? Don't give up on your friends. She's extremely grateful to be in recovery, has been abstinent for 1 year, 3 months, 18 days, and has lost an amazing 162 pounds. Kathy often shares with others that the power of God is miraculous. She has experienced a new freedom and a new happiness, continuing to see daily the many benefits of CA Howe. With a genuine heart for people, Kathy is passionate about carrying the message to others. Her favorite color is red. She loves going to meetings and has made many new friends. She appreciates the incredible love she has received from her wonderful husband of 38 years and her family and her sponsor. 30 years. That 0 and the 8 kind of made a little loop-de-doo. And she's only 29. Anyway, Kathy is very involved in the program and believes that as she remains willing, God is faithful to reveal his perfect plan for her life. So let's give Kathy a big hand.
Good morning, everyone. I'm so glad to be here, and I'm so glad all of you are here. Coffee, a little bit of sleep, a couple housekeeping items I need to fill you in on. Claudia is in the back translating for our Spanish-speaking attendees. Thank you, Claudia. And so I've been told I have a couple of hand signals to watch for, so I will be checking that out. So if I'm talking too fast, she's going to do the lay down. And what was the other signal? Oh, stop, pause, take a sip of water or something. So, well, I'm going to start us off this morning with the morning prayer. This is, some of you may have heard or participated in this prayer at a meeting. This is one of our meeting readings, so if you would join me in our morning prayer. God, today is a new day for me, and with you, I can handle anything. I ask for your protection today from anyone or anything that may interfere with my abstinence. I am asking now for your protection. If sometime during the day my desire to compulsively eat becomes stronger than my desire to abstain, I know I am powerless over food and that my life can become unmanageable again. I do believe that you will relieve my compulsion and restore me to sanity. Please help me to know your will for my life today and give me the willingness to carry it out. I turn my will and my life over to you. Please guide me through another day of abstinence. God, I need you. Help me to rely on you instead of food. Amen. It's actually on the internet, on our website. CEAHow.org in the different readings and meeting formats. There's all kinds of great stuff, all our program readings. And as a side note, I would just like to suggest that I believe very powerfully in the visual, and that's part of my passion, is to provide visuals for the visual learners that are in the room, because I know that we all, God made us all unique and different, and we have auditory people and visual people. Would you like me to wait a moment? 2 minutes? 2 minutes. But it is on the website, CEAHow.org. Okay, as I started to say a moment ago, I believe very strongly that part of my recovery is definitely connected to the fact that I am a visual person, and as you can probably tell by the title of my workshop that you're all here to participate in, so it is a workshop, so you are going to be participating, and my front display up here, so I hope that you're curious about what you see before you. Also, that what I have found in my 1 year, 3 months, and 18 days since I've been in recovery is that that I actually always have a copy of the Forever Abstinent, and this is not a push to for selling literature, but I believe in the power of reading and looking at the readings when we're at meetings. I believe that looking at the words that say, I am powerless, and that we are seeing that with our own eyes is instrumental for some of us, that it penetrates at a different level than just the hearing. So all of those readings that we do in our program, they're free. You can, all you need is a printer. Go on the website and print them off absolutely free and carry them with you. There's powerful stuff there. So that being said, today we're going to talk about gifts, and I'd like to start off with the definition of a gift. According to Webster, a gift is something that is given, a special talent. It is to give something. It's a present. It's a reward. It's an award and an endowment. And there's several other descriptions there. And I came across this verse that I believe is so amazing. The gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. That is from the book of Romans, chapter 11, verse 29, are irrevocable. That's a pretty strong word. Okay, so talking about the gifts that are up here today, I'm sure that for some of you that came in here this morning, maybe the curious ones thought, ooh, I wonder what's in there. Did anybody think that? Raise your hand if you thought that. Okay, now be honest, because we're HOW, right? Honesty, open-minded, willing to listen. How many of you, raise your hand if you decided which one you want? Oh, yeah. Want them all. Who wants them all? You're in the right place then, because they're all here for you. But they're all here for all of us. That's the cool thing. That is the miracle. So we can all make assumptions about gifts. We've all received many gifts over our lifetime, of course. You know, the favorite gift, the best gift, the worst gift, you know, the one that you thought was going to be something fabulous and it was turned out to be something practical, like socks, you know, when you're a kid. You wanted the bike, and you got socks. Or the knitted vest from your aunt that lives back in somewhere. And then you know, we make assumptions. We judge. I judge by the outward appearance. So I look at that and I go, wow. Bingo. Sparkle. Diamonds, maybe. Good things come in small packages. That's right. But what if I opened that and it was not something sparkly? Would I be disappointed? I'd be disappointed. And then there's the plain, boring, brown box. Wow. That's got to be something pretty boring. I mean, come on. Well, there's this other plain, boring brown box. No alcohol. No. Not even sparkling cider up here in the front. A vase. Very good. So we can make an assumption about what's in the gift, that someone's giving us, and we can decide if we really want it. We can decide, do I even want to open it? Because I'm sure it's not going to be what I think it might be. So I am just so excited to, oops, I'm getting tied up in my thing here. I knew that might happen. So we're going to look at these gifts a little more closely in the workshop. This workshop is actually supposed to be going until 9:45, I believe, so 1 hour from now. So make yourselves comfortable. We're going to do a little interactive stuff, but first I'm going to share with you what I was like, what happened to change me, and what I'm like today. And as I said earlier, I am definitely the visual person. Does this move up by any chance? Okay, well, that's not going to happen. Vanna, can I get you to hold the mic for me? Because it's something having to do with the recording. I have to be on the mic. Okay, well, let me just say for a moment, sorry. As April mentioned, we've been friends for many, many years, and I did was invited by April 3 times to come to a meeting. The first time I said, no, thank you. I thought it was a cult. I didn't know anything about 12-step programs 1 year and 3 months ago. The only thing I knew, or of course it was wrong, was it had something to do with candles, and that people passed them to one another and said, it's not my fault. That's what Kathy thought about 12-step program. So April invited me, and the reason April invited me is because she has lived with me, but we've been very close friends. We met when we were pregnant with our sons, who are now 24, so we've been friends for 25 years. And she has seen me in many stages of this addiction that I now have. But I didn't know I had an addiction 1 year and 3 months ago. I thought that I just needed to find the right diet. And professional dieter, of course, I just hadn't found the right diet. Because I believed that if I found the right diet, that I could then go on that diet, get to my goal weight, finish my diet, and then check, be done. Because I live in thinking that life is a to-do list, and you check it off, and then you move on to the next thing. So I had shared with April that I had experienced 2 blackouts. I had not told my husband because I knew he would be concerned. But I did share it with my dear friend that I'd had 2 blackouts, which I'm going to get to where, but falling downstairs in my townhouse. Woke up in front of the washer and dryer on the tile floor. Wasn't sure what happened, how I got there. And then that was a little, you know, private humiliation. Then I had a public humiliation because I was at Best Buy and with another girlfriend, and we were walking in, and she went one way and I went the other way, and the next thing I knew I was on the floor with people standing over me. I'm sure it was very attractive on the closed circuit security camera at Best Buy. Had to get in a wheelchair, which I didn't quite fit into, et cetera, et cetera. So when April invited me the first time, I said, no, thank you. I didn't think I really wanted what she had at that point. The second time she asked me, perseverance. So if you're asking people, you're carrying the message to somebody, don't grow weary in well-doing. Invite them again. She invited me the second time, and I said, no, but thanks for asking, because I learned that when I was 40. Great, great tool. No, but thanks for asking, smiling. So when April asked me the third time, I thought, good grief, Kathy. Okay, all right. So when she asked me the third time, I thought, good grief, Kathy. She's your friend of 25 years. Be a friend and be supportive of her. She's stepping up, for crying out loud, in this cult. Whatever. Get your, you know, be a friend. So I went to a meeting. And when I went to that meeting, again, had no knowledge of 12-step, I was eating massive quantities of flour and sugar on my way there. Didn't finish them all, so I threw them in my glove box, the remnants, and my husband went with me. Now, my husband has loved me, thank God for my husband, through thick and thin. We've been married, like April said, 30 years, corrected, not 38, but 30 years, which is a miracle, and he has been so supportive of me. I'm so grateful for that. And so he went with me to the meeting because he was concerned about what was going on with his wife, because he knew, because he lives with me, that I was basically in a really bad place. I would go to work. I would function. I have a lot of responsibility at work. I manage a program. I have 110 people that work for me, and a lot of responsibility. And so I would go to work and do my thing. And it talks about that in the AA Big Book, about the two sides of this addiction issue that we struggle with. There's the functioning side, and then there's the isolating, not dealing with life side. So that's where I was. I was the two sides of that. And I was eating, prior to coming into program, massive quantities of flour and sugar. And so when April asked me, I went to the meeting. And I'm going to go back just a minute to my childhood, which is pretty normal, whatever that means. I was raised in Orange County, lived in this area my entire life, was fortunate after going to school. My mother was home, stayed home with me. My sisters, I had two sisters. I was the middle girl. Yes, I want everyone to get along. And one older brother. And, yeah, we had, you know, one dog, just lived on a cul-de-sac, very, very normal kind of life. Well, when I went into junior high, I got a little pudgy. Pudgy, I mean, like 12 pounds, maybe, probably for some hormonal reason that happens to young ladies when they're in junior high. And my mother, being a perfectionist, and my father being a control freak engineer personality, decided to fix the daughter because there was something wrong because she was getting pudgy. So my 12 pounds when I went into junior high started me into a career as a professional dieter. My mom started me there. She'd take me to Weight Watchers, take me to the gamut. I tell people I've done every program multiple times, A to Z. The only one I never did is the zone, so A to XY. XY, A through Y, zone has too much math. I'm an administrative person. I am not a math person. So I never did the zone diet, but I did every other program out there. My mother would take me in my younger years of junior high and drop me off because she was slender and she was just making it available to me. So anyway, junior high, But what I've learned since I've been in recovery now is progressive. Addiction is progressive. So how many people in this room, raise your hand if you know anybody that started smoking, as an example, and 2 years later still only smokes one cigarette a day? Anybody? No, it's progressive. Oh, somebody in the back. Okay, so what I learned is that this is a progressive issue. And so I finished junior high, went into high school, and to indicate the progressive nature of my addiction, all of that fixing that my mother was trying to do basically resulted in me graduating from high school 85 pounds overweight. So obviously it wasn't working. So managed to go to college, was blessed to meet my husband. Kind of in the middle of my sex, drugs, rock and roll, and alcohol period. And so we met during that time. And had a few years before we had children. I was fortunate to be blessed with two wonderful children who basically I was also fortunate to be able to stay home with, and that was a wonderful, wonderful blessing. And so I had two children, and they both actually just last month graduated from college. My son did the 5-year plan. My daughter did the 4-year plan. It was very clever of them. They didn't plan that, but that was great. And so had a wonderful life. We were also fortunate to purchase our dream home in South Orange County, Mission Viejo, for those of you that are familiar with the area. Purchased our dream home and had a very charmed life. I continued to be a professional dieter, having success and struggles for the last many years. And my husband was working for a company, a chemical company, that was an extremely toxic, pun intended, but also very dysfunctional work environment. And he had worked there for 30 years. Well, the last couple years, while he was working there, it became very dysfunctional, where people were literally throwing office furniture, lots of stress, people going out on stress leave. It was just not a pretty place to work. And he was working 3 full-time jobs for that company. He was on 24/7 call, and he was a stress monster. Our children were away at college. I had gone on my last diet, thank God, and I thought it was my last diet. It actually what turned out to be my last diet. And what happened to change me was that I lost some weight, about 80 pounds, and I became very prideful about that I had gotten my act together finally. And what I now know today is that I needed to get the gift of humility. You see humility on your paper here? Well, that was the first gift that I became aware of after coming into program. But that was actually a pre-program gift. And humility doesn't really feel like a gift. Kind of like some of these may not look like a gift. Humility. Who wants humility? Raise your hand if you want to have humility. Okay, well, that's because you're in recovery. But other people? No, I don't want that one. And I didn't want it either. But I was prideful about what I had accomplished. Kathy had finally gotten her act together, and that said person over there really needed to get their own act together. So my husband, due to the stressful work environment, basically had a nervous breakdown. He was literally unable to work, unable to actually leave our bedroom for about a year. He was pretty much in a puddle. And Kathy was holding things together. Children were away at college, and I was so thankful that I got my act together so I could hold the family together, because after all, God needed me to keep the family together. And we lost our home. My husband was unable to work for over 2.5 years. We lost our dream home in Mission Viejo. And 2 years ago, actually 2 years ago and 1 month ago, We moved with a huge amount of debt as a result of the economy, lost $170,000 of equity in our home because of the market as we all know it is today. And we lost our home and moved to a townhouse. Now, Kathy was thinking, okay, great. We're moving to a townhouse, not really just kind of shoveling all of that pain of what was going on in our life under the rug because I don't want to deal with it and eating, right? So I was eating and not dealing. And when we moved, the one beautiful thing about moving, which there's very few things really about moving that are wonderful, but the one wonderful thing is we were moving into a three-story townhouse. And Kathy's plan was, oh my gosh, this is great. I've got 15 pounds to lose till my goal. I'm going to lose those 15 pounds because I'm living in a Stairmaster. And I hate exercise. How many people like exercise? Couple. Yeah. We need to do it, though. It is good to do. But I thought, okay, cool. I'm going to finally, right, like I said a minute ago, lose those 15 pounds, get to my goal weight, check, done. I'm moving on with my life. That was Kathy's plan 1 year ago. Well, that's not what happened. I moved. My husband was doing better. He actually started working again part-time. Very low-stress job. Funny because we say he worked at the most toxic place on earth, and he now works at the happiest place on earth, Disneyland. So, wow, yeah. Anyway, he loves it, and he's doing great, so I'm so thankful. But anyway, so no, Kathy's plan did not unfold because we make our plans, but who orders our steps? God. So some of us decided today we're going to go do this, this, and this, but we don't really know that that's true. So we do make our plans, and that's important. But being aware that God is the one that directs our steps and being present is a gift also that I've received. But anyway, so moving to our Stairmaster, and instead of losing my last 15 pounds, because I'm dealing with stress, loss of home, which I said, who cares, it's just a house. Loss of, you know, four-bedroom, dream home, our retirement, all of our money totally gone because my husband was unable to work. So lost all of that, all of my friends. I'm a major friends people person. So all my friends are now 35, 40 minutes away from me. Our church community, which we were very involved in, all gone. I'm living in Anaheim, and I went into my own meltdown. I went to work, like I said earlier, functioned, came home, and I started eating massive quantities of flour and sugar, and I could not stop. And I gained, didn't know this was possible, 120 pounds in 10 months. It's possible. And so I'm going to show you me 1 year and 3 months ago. That's me. Just under 350 pounds because I gained 120 pounds. I went to work, ate massive quantities of flour and sugar every night, fell asleep on the couch, woke up at 2 in the morning, sometimes went to bed, sometimes didn't. Got up in the morning, went to work, came home, same thing over and over. Isolating, doing all the things that I didn't know were all part of this addiction. And it was at that time that April invited me because I had shared with her, as I said earlier, about blackouts. So the second gift that I received, since this is about gifts today, was the gift of willingness. That's a big one, the gift of willingness. It's in here. And the gift of willingness showed up. God gave me that gift the night I went to that meeting, and I threw the flour and sugar in the glove box of my car and went in with my husband, and I was there, and I was in a fog, literally, of flour and sugar, plus having no knowledge of 12-step, I had no idea what the heck this thing was, and again, I thought it was a cult, and I kept waiting for the candles, and there was candles because someone was stepping up, but that's beside the point. And so someone said, oh, would you like a welcome chip? Or would you like a chip? And I said, oh my gosh, they have salsa here. How cool is that? Which I found out was not the case. But God gave me the gift of willingness that night. And that is willingness, basically, to do what I was told. Kathy is defiant. And I read question 30, 30 days into this program. I read the act of surrender, defiance, and grandiosity. Defiance and grandiosity. I'm talking too fast. And I read that over and over and over again. And I thought, oh my gosh, that's me. I was told to get a sponsor that night. I got a sponsor. I was told to buy Forever Abstinent and the Big Book. I bought them. Didn't have the money. Oh, well, I bought them anyway. I had no idea what I was doing. I did what I was told. I got a sponsor. I did my first 30 days of questions. 30 days into program, this is me. I didn't take a before picture, but for those of you that were in the fashion show last night, you saw this picture. This was after I was in program a month on my 30 days at a meeting. This is me. 26 pounds already off from this picture. So absolutely astonishing. I do have, as I shared earlier, a couple visuals. So the gift of willingness is powerful. And if God needs to help you, if you're struggling, ask him to make you willing. These are my pants. My pants that I kept, size 28, and in my compulsivity, since I don't eat anymore, and since I don't have any money, and since my body has drastically changed, I've had to, and actually enjoy very much going to thrift stores. So a couple months ago, I was shopping at my favorite thrift store, with a coupon, of course, and I found my shirt. I was so excited that I donated months ago. I left the price tag on, $4.99. I bought it. And I was so excited that I thought, wait a second, I donated the shirt. Now I'm buying it back. But the really fun thing is, because I'm in recovery and our primary purpose is to carry the message, my primary purpose, that's why I'm here. I spent 5 years before coming into program asking God, why am I here? What is my purpose? Why am I on this planet? And I know now. I know why today. It's for today. To carry the message to those that are still suffering. So I do not miss an opportunity. So when I said to the checkout man, guy, girl, that's my shirt, she said, uh-huh. And I said, no, no, really, it's my shirt. She said, okay. I said, no, let me show you. My messenger bag, which I have in it, my little storybook, took a picture because people love to see progress, not perfection. So I have a picture if anyone wants to see it later. Every 30 days. For the last 15 months, I had a picture taken of myself. The other things I carry in my little book are my 12 and 12, one little miniature Forever Abstinent, laminated. And so I said to the girl, no, it's my shirt. She's like, oh, my gosh. So they called the manager over. Cool. So anyway, gave me my shirt for free. Yes. So the gift of willingness. Life or death, absolutely. For me, I am just so grateful to God and for this program and for all of you that have encouraged me. The love, the support is amazing. And as April read in my bio, I love coming to meetings And people tell me, oh, you're on the honeymoon. You'll get over it. I'm not sure that's true. I could be the exception. Anyway, so I gave you a handout. This handout was actually born out of my own recovery work that I started doing because I started experiencing, as the clarity came, here's another gift, the gift of clarity. I can see clearly now. The sugar and flour are gone. Wow, I mean, clarity. I experienced that. And one thing I want to point out here so you get a little understanding of my visual in case it's not perfectly clear. If you look at the word clarity, there's two sides of this. One is completed. That's what I'm talking about today. The other side is for you to complete. Because I know that all of you, if given an opportunity, and you're going to have an opportunity in just a moment, would be able to complete some spots here. And that's a wonderful thing. And that's a gift in itself. Ask and you shall receive. Okay. Can everybody hear me? So, we get a gift. What do we receive with that gift? There's lots of pieces and parts of a gift. It's not just the gift. For example, the gift of clarity. When God gave me that gift and I stopped eating sugar and flour, and all of a sudden it was like a whole new world opened up for me. So part of that gift of clarity is awareness. Simplicity. Usefulness. There are many, many aspects of the gift of clarity, more than I could probably show here, but I'm just giving an example. So we receive the gift of clarity. I've received the gift of clarity. If you're in this room and you stopped eating flour and sugar, you have received the gift of clarity. And if you haven't stopped eating flour and sugar, you will receive the gift of clarity. And also, what could potentially be viewed as a negative is actually a gift as well. Because in the freedom from, we get out from the bondage of that gift. We get out of being confused, disillusionment, and pain. Those are things that we do not want to be living in. That is not God's will. God's will wants us to be in that center column because he has gifts for each one of us, many, many gifts, too many to mention on the sheet and talk about today, because that would be like a whole day workshop. So there's freedom from, and I know that words are powerful, and I didn't write it on here, but I wanted to share with you that the opposite, the antonym of awareness, this is huge to me. I went, wow. The antonym, the opposite of awareness, is unconsciousness. Unconsciousness. That's where we are when we're eating flour and sugar. We are in a fog. So the third gift that I received was the gift of forgiveness. Now, as I was working on my first 30 days of questions, I became aware of the fact that I, Kathy, had not been the perfect parent. Sure, my kids were in college, but I was not the perfect parent. And it was a beautiful experience, one of those God moments where I literally was walking through my living room and I felt as if God was in my living room with me, and as I walked by the couch, I heard the voice that said, you need to forgive your parents for the decisions that they made. And I went, wow, That's true. So I received the gift of forgiveness. God gave me that gift, and I was able to give that to God, to forgive my parents for their attempts to fix me, which probably didn't cause my issue, but they certainly exacerbated the issue. And I have had the most beautiful conversations since I've been in recovery with my parents about my weight, about God, about recovery. Open the doors that I've never been able to talk to my parents about my weight because of the control issues. And I forgave my parents. That is a huge, huge gift. Because freedom from anger, look at those negatives. That is, we are to abstain from negative thinking. Anger, bitterness, blame, resentment. God wants to free us from all of those things. So I experienced that gift. It was beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful. And I've had, like I said, many opportunities. I'm fortunate my parents are both still alive and have had many opportunities to talk with them. I don't feel weird. My mom doesn't get it, so of course she continues to offer sugar to me repeatedly because she has Alzheimer's. Bless her little heart. So she doesn't get it, but that's okay. But I feel okay about having a conversation with them about my weight. That is just amazing to me. Another gift that I received, gratitude. Wow. I always thought I was thankful. I prayed before I ate my meal, for crying out loud. But there's that negativity, as I talked about, regrets, entitlement. No, I want to be a person that appreciates and is content. That's what God wants for us, to have that gift of gratitude. Joy, absolutely. Purpose. Why am I here? Why are you all here? You're all here because God wants you to be here. And the solution that's out there in the world today is very different. I spoke a couple weeks ago in Encino, and I shared, because I am aware, because I have received the gift of clarity. As I drove up to the Encino meeting, I noticed the billboards along the freeway going north on the 5 from Anaheim. 3 weeks later, I drove to Santa Monica up the 405, and I noticed the billboards. Just a little side note, interesting bit of trivia for you. The majority of billboards on the way north on the 405 are automobiles, fast food, and movies. Automobiles, fast food, and movies. I'm not sure what that means, but it is what it is. When I was driving from Anaheim to Encino, the majority of billboards are casinos, gambling, of course, through Los Angeles, and lap band surgery. It is not the solution. And that's what the world is throwing out there today, is the solution. You are in the right place, because this is the solution. And many, many of you know that. Hopefully all of you in this room know that. I stopped counting after 12, literally, from Anaheim up the freeway to Encino, which is not that far, 12 billboards screaming for all that traffic. That's the solution. It is not the solution. Serenity. I was isolating when I was eating massive quantities of flour. I didn't even know that word existed until I came into program. I'm isolating? Oh, you mean like when my best friend calls to get together and I'm like, oh, I'm not feeling good. Why? Wonder why I'm not feeling good. Isolating. Emptiness. Self-absorbed. What do we learn in program is service is freedom from bondage of self. That is so true. That is so true. Get involved in service. rebellion. I talked about defiance. Isolation. I was isolating, didn't want to spend time with anybody, and that's not my life today. And I'm going to shift gears here a little bit. I'd like you to turn to the person on your left and tell them your first name and your, pay attention now, it's going to be complicated, first name and favorite color. Go. Okay, come on. There's a lot of socializers in this room, I can tell. Okay, pulling it back in. God grant me the serenity. All right, now, next interactive, I want you to turn to the person on your right and tell them your favorite color and your name in reverse. Your favorite color, and then your name. Okay. Everybody needs to get out a pen and reach under your seat and pull out the white index cards that are on the floor. You may have a pile of goodies on top of them, but there's two index cards for each of you. Go ahead and grab those. Now this is a individual project, so no looking over your neighbor's answers. No peeking, no copying. I want you to write out individually the most powerful gift that you personally have received since you have been in recovery. Whether you've been in recovery for one day, whether you've been in recovery for 10 years, if you've been in recovery for 10 years, that paper's not big enough, I'm sure. But just your most powerful, your favorite gift. We're going to spend a few minutes letting you do that. If you don't have a pen, please ask a neighbor, because unfortunately I didn't bring any. But does everyone have a pen, pretty much? Oh, great. If you have extras, if you could hold them up, that'd be great. Just a couple, 3 to 5. Give you a few more seconds, minute maybe. Okay. Y'all finished? Pretty good? Okay. Wasn't last night so fabulous? It was very fun. Don't very often get to play Miss Congeniality, so I let the hair up. Okay. We are going to, I'm going to have you now, little few instructions, breaking into groups of five or six. So maybe just kind of in your row, move a few chairs around, that's fine. And what you're going to do is you're going to bring your, have your little cards with you, break into groups, and you're going to nominate one person to be the note taker and one person to be the spokesperson. Okay? So kind of start to move around the room and get in little cluster groups of five or six people. I know the socializers in the room will nominate themselves to be the spokesperson. Nope. April, do you want to come up front? Okay. April, can I have you come up front? Okay, everybody, have a seat. This is your early morning calisthenics. Okay, can everybody hear me? Okay, so nominate one person in your group to be the note taker, one person to be the spokesperson. Okay, each group is going to receive a gift. My room hostess. Each group is receiving a gift as I am saying this, and one of the stack of cards. Okay, I want everybody, when you received your gift, does every group have a gift? Raise your hand if you don't have a gift. Okay, and put the gifts where everyone in your little circle. It's already been given. See how we are? The purple box, just so you know, has dryer lint in it. Okay. Now, April's going to pass out to you, each group, one set of three index cards. One pink, one blue, one yellow. It doesn't matter. Don't worry about the colors. Okay. Now, you all have a gift. I want you all to look at the gift that's in your group. Everybody, look at your gift. No, don't look in it. No opening. Come on, it's not Christmas. It's not your birthday. It's not even Hanukkah. No looking, but I want everyone looking at your gift, and you start to wonder, what do you suppose is in there? It's not a Mercedes, and it's not dryer lint. Okay, now I want, with everyone looking at your gift, I want you to open your gift and look inside. It's space. Okay. Here's the message. Here's the message. Every day is a gift, isn't it? And it's what we choose and how we choose to live each day. Because God gives us that gift. So what I want you to do is I want to talk, have you share what you wrote on your cards for a few minutes and decide on what top three gifts, because some of you will talk just briefly, because obviously I can tell we're a chatty group, so we need to finish up here, about your gifts and decide on one or two gifts that you're going to put back in the bag, okay? And we're only going to do about 5 minutes, and then we're going to have the spokesperson come up and share with the broader group, and you can just stay where you're seated and share with the broader group what gifts are in there. Write the gifts that you decide as a group, which three gifts you want on the card. On the index, the colored index cards. Yes. One gift on each colored card. Come to consensus. Thank you, Larry. In your group, what gift? Okay. Start deciding which three gifts you're going to write on your card and put them back into the bag. We have just a few more minutes. Okay, we're going to need the spokesperson. Everybody's going to stay where you are. And I want the spokesperson from each group to bring your gift. Bring your gift up here to the front. Over on this side. Over here. Over here, ladies. Just cut through the middle there. Where the microphone is. Okay, if I can get everybody. Now, I know you could have done that. I know you could have spent another half an hour chatting in your groups, and that's wonderful. So remembering that today is the day that God has made and given us. So I'm going to pass the microphone. We're going to do this rather quickly because I'm sure we're going to see a pattern here. I would expect that there would be a pattern developing. So we're not going to be elaborating on the gifts, but if you're taking notes and you would like to write a gift down that is shared, if you'd like to write the gifts down that are being shared up here, representative of all of you in this room, and write them down and then spend some time later in your program time looking up the definitions of some of these words, looking up the synonyms, looking up the antonyms, the opposites, because that's also extremely powerful, as I shared earlier. The opposite of awareness is unconsciousness. So I would like to pass the microphone over to our first spokesperson.
Do we have the list of your gifts? There's no mic. Oh, it didn't sound. Yeah, I just... just name them? Okay, our group came up with, the first one, by the way, was friendship and fellowship, and under that we added unconditional love, because that's what we get from the fellowship. Second one we all agreed on was gratitude. I believe that we're all grateful to be in this room today, as well as when we leave here to be at meetings, on the phone bridge, have sponsors, have the seven tools, etc. Last one would be serenity, finding peace. We all need peace. Peace is wonderful, because with peace we can actually get up every day and look forward to another day filled with gratitude and friendship and fellowship.
Hi. Our group,
our lovely silver box, which should have been purple, but silver's okay. We knew that the first thing we found in our box was God. We found clarity, and we found hope.
Really beautiful.
Well, we started by one of our teammates seeing this as a rose, which I'm not speaking loud enough. Never been accused of that. first time. So beauty, and it wasn't one of our gifts, but the one I just wanted to say that. And then with lots and lots of hearts, the first gift that we came up with is love. Hearts all over our little card. Freedom and life. The gift of life.
Hi, my name is Mayer. And our group came up with self-awareness and abstinence. Self-awareness and abstinence, gratitude, and a relationship with a higher power.
Our group came up with hope, serenity, and willingness.
There's a theme here. Our group came up with serenity, willingness, and progress, growth. Progress meaning growth.
Gratitude, willingness, and joy, and we had the most joyful bus.
Our group came up with serenity, humility, and forgiveness.
Our group came up with knowledge about the disease and knowledge that there is a solution, and faith that our higher power could and would and does, and a community of people that understand our malady and our solution and support us.
Our group came up, we had the purple box,
yay,
and inside the purple box was another box, and inside that box was a little packet of paper that says, do not eat. And then we put into our box humility, meditation, and discipline. And thank you for your service. It was beautiful. Thank you. That's great. Let's give a hand to God for all those gifts. Of course. You could just stay where you are. We only have about 10 more minutes, and then we're actually going to be moving over to the general session closing that starts at 10 o'clock. So I have a couple more things I want to share with you before we wrap up, so we don't have time for you to reshuffle around the room. So that's so exciting. I asked April to write all those down, so I know that there definitely is a theme there. And part of that theme that we heard this morning over and over again has to do with the fact that all of us in this room identify with one another. We, hopefully, I know I do, and I'm grateful for the fact, when I read the big book, I identify with those people, whoever they are. I read those stories, and I do not think, which is a gift, I do not think, wow, these people are really screwed up. That thought, as of today, has never entered my mind. What the thought comes when I read it is, wow, thank you, God, that you have a solution for me, because I am really a work in progress, right? Because it's about progress. It's not about perfection. Raise your hand if you're dealing with perfectionism. Yeah. Progress. Progress is the key. So many gifts. And I actually wanted to show you one other little visual that I carry with me. And when I have an opportunity to carry the message and people say, well, how did you do it? I pull out of my pocket and I say, for those of you in the back, you may not be able to see it, but I say, I used to eat this. It's on a little plate. It's a little flour and sugar product, a little heart-shaped flour and sugar product with little cherries on a little plate. I used to eat this, and now I eat this. Same plate, little tomato, little carrot. And I actually found these after coming into program in my jewelry box. So I guess back in the 80s or 70s, probably 80s, they had pins on them. What the heck? And I used to wear... I never wore the vegetable one, let me tell you that. Never wore the vegetable one. Always wore this little sugar and flour on my chest. What was I thinking? Obviously, I wasn't, because I didn't have this gift. Like, what is that about? You like walking up to someone and having a sugar and flour product on, is that the badge of honor? Is that the, I'm so proud that the explanation? Yeah. Wonder why this is, yeah, it's this. So I wore them on my denim jacket. How cute. But like I said, I never wore the little tomato and the carrot. So that's a really fun visual. So many, many gifts. And yesterday, don't you love when you get a gift that you're completely not expecting? Like, totally, it's not your birthday, it's not Christmas, it's not Hanukkah, it's not whatever, Mother's Day, you know? And all of a sudden someone comes up to you and they say, do you have a second? And they call you over and you're like, sure. And they give you a gift. I love that. It doesn't happen very often because I'm already, like, thinking, well, it's my birthday, so of course I'm going to be showered with gifts. But God wants to give us gifts every day. So I have a little visual for you that you're going to, it's an interactive thing, you're going to take it home with you and it's going to be a visual. But somebody came up to me yesterday and blessed me and said, do you have a second? And they called me over and they said, oh, I have a little gift for you. And I went, really? It's not my birthday. Why is she giving me a present? And she gave me a gift and it was so touching. It is so amazing to me. And so thoughtful, and I'm just so touched. And it's a gift, and it says, I know how it works. And you know what? I shared with her that in the promises that we read every day or whenever we go to a meeting, and the promises, which I pretty much have memorized, but it says, are these extravagant promises? I would like to propose that we change that to say, I know not. Because they are not extravagant. They are gifts that God wants to give to each one of us, each one of you that's here today. And so when I receive this gift, is that beautiful? Because we do know how it works. I'm going to have our my room hostesses pass out a little something for you in just a second. But I want to close with a story about one of my all-time favorite TV shows. Anybody here got into watching it? Ran for 8 years. Called Monk. Okay. Well, for those of you that never watched it, in summation, it's a story about a man who's brilliant. He, his wife is murdered, and throughout the eight-year series of this show, he is trying to solve her murder. He's brilliant, but he's also extremely obsessive-compulsive. He has many phobias. Milk. I mean, all the normal ones, like elevators and heights, but then there's some just really bizarre ones. He's very compulsive, obsessive, has lots of, like I said, phobias. It's for a lot of people, they watched the show. It was very successful, ran for 8 years, watched it because it's funny. People watch and see the fact that he has three umbrellas that he has lined up in his entryway, and they all have to be hanging the same way. I watched the show. I never thought that was funny. That's how I like my house to be. What's so funny about that? But I love the show. It's great. So he spends 8 years. Now, this is the tie-in that's powerful. He spends 8 years of, I don't know how many seasons or how many episodes, but he spends eight seasons trying to solve unsuccessfully his wife's murder. And every episode he solved a murder because he's brilliant and he has observation abilities that are off the charts, and he sees things that no one else sees, and he has a gift to do that, but he cannot solve his wife's murder. And in all the episodes that have to do with any celebratory thing, he pulls out a gift. And for those of you that have seen it, there's a gift that his wife gave him. It was the last gift she gave him before she died. And he pulls that gift out, and he cherishes that gift, and he doesn't open it. And all his friends ask him, why don't you open it? It's the gift that she gave you. And he chooses, through 8 years, to not open the gift. The powerful tie-in in the season closing, and this I watched, and as I was in recovery, it was so impacting to me, because in the last episode, he decides, and I'm not going to tell you why, but he decides finally, after 8 years of dealing with compulsive, addictive, life bondage that he was in, to open the gift. And guess what? He opens the gift, and it helps him to solve her murder. It was there all along. The solution was there all along. And he never chose to open it. So I want to encourage you, as you see those gifts in your life, to embrace them and open them. And let those gifts that God's giving to you help other people. So I am going to pass out something. Go ahead, ladies. And this is your little takeaway for our time together today. Thank you so much for letting me be here and share with you. You are going to go ahead and just pass out a chunk of them to each group, and they can pass them along. This is your little visual takeaway. Did you have a question? My cell number? Okay, sure, absolutely. I love outreach calls. Love, love, love outreach calls. I qualify. Love outreach calls. 949. We need some up here. Okay. This is your little gift, your reminder of what God's going to speak to you and maybe already has in our last hour and a half together. My phone number for outreach calls is 949-285-1043. 949-285-1043. Verizon. I'm in Anaheim, Southern California. Anaheim. Verizon. Love it. Okay. For those of you that are overachievers, I know you've already put your gift together. Hold up your box so we can see who you are. Those of you that have already done it. Okay, now if your neighbor's struggling, don't help them. They got to put it together. It's their gift. Don't help your neighbor. Very good. You can take it apart afterwards for traveling. Okay, I want you to hold them up after you get them put together. Don't help your neighbor. Every day, ladies and gentlemen, put this on your nightstand, your dresser, your desk at work. It's what you choose to do with your day that God gives you is your visual reminder here, okay? And I'm going to close with my box as I went to look for these different visuals for our time together today. And part of my recovery is I realized that I have, you know, addiction is about more. And it's not just about food. This is really amazing to me because, I have that more thing. When I go to print an agenda for meetings, which I meet with my staff, my direct reports every week, and there's eight of us, do I ever print eight agendas? Never. Never. I'm all or nothing. I never print eight agendas. I was in a lunchroom and trying to decide if I wanted to have hot dogs or eggs for lunch. And I said to a coworker who walked in, I can't decide if I should have my two eggs or my two hot dogs for lunch. And she said, oh, I know the answer to that. And I thought, oh, wow. I thought, oh, she's going to save the eggs because they're healthier. And she said, I'd have one of each. Never, I'm not kidding you, ever thought of that. I could have one of each? That's weird. I am all or nothing. Okay, so I print 10 agendas because why? Because I'm a compulsive, addictive person. And just in case somebody spills coffee, just in case, that's what I say. Just in case I'm going to buy 7 things of this shampoo, just in case they stop making it, mascara, my favorite lipstick, whatever. Here's my favorite box. The just in case box. Isn't that great? Haven't decided what I'm going to put in it yet, but I have it, just in case. Exactly. All right, thanks so much. Enjoy the rest of your retreat.